If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tour, Sports Travel for sports fans, by sports fans. This is take two. I'm not going to lie. The last podcast got interrupted by attempts to get Tony Gonzalez and Rob Gronkowski on. Those attempts failed. But we did get not one, not two, but three Hall of Famers on the show today, plus some current NFL players and some lovely people beside. You know, current quarterback. It was a great day. What a day, Matt Sherry. This is the Gridiron Show. This is indeed the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours. Sports Travel Tours who... I haven't seen Andrew since we arrived. Andrew, friend of the show, of course. But we are going to go out with him tonight and grab a bite to eat. And despite the fact that... A couple of us are feeling a little bit worse for wear after our early morning start today. I don't think I've mentioned that yet, guys. It is currently 5:33 in the afternoon, to be precise, and we've been here since 6:30 this morning, so an 11-hour day for me and Ollie Hunter.
And 5:33 is actually the evening.
Yeah. Yes, what did I say?
Afternoon.
ridiculously picky distinction to make.
As soon as you pass 4:59, it's
rubbish.
You're a joke.
That's pre-evening.
That's someone who works for themselves at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did speak to Andrew Hill actually this morning, and really exciting day for those guys. They're about to launch their package for the game in Ireland, Georgia Tech.
Oh, fantastic.
Against...
It's really good if you know what the game is, Sherry.
I forgot, I do definitely know what it is, but it's Georgia Tech against a good college, definitely. Who can get this information first off Google is the answer.
This is some cracking live tweeting to find out.
Boston College.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, Boston College.
Oh, that's a great game, yeah.
Yeah, so that package is coming out today, and people should really check that out, because those guys, I mean, we can speak from experience this week. Andrew does a great job of looking after people on those tours, and it's just great value for money with the ticket. The tailgate parties they put on are absolutely fantastic. And those guys do a great job. And I'm sure we'll get Andrew on soon again to discuss his packages.
And I'm not going to lie, the game in Ireland, I went to the Penn State one 2 years ago. And it was one of the best live football experiences I've had. The Irish crowd obviously so welcoming, the football, great to watch college football in that stadium. And so much fun. And then Dublin is obviously just a great city to go out in. The night before, the night after, just great, great fun.
Brilliantly, I found all of that information on ramblingrec.com.
Thanks. I really appreciate that, guys. Right, so Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter, Matt Sherry in the podcast studio, which is live on Radio Roll at Super Bowl 50, the Golden Super Bowl. We've had such a great day today down here on Radio Roll. Sadly,
Radio Roll. You've just said that twice.
In the north, it's Radio Cobb.
Radio Bap. We're down on Radio Bap. That's a great gag. Ollie, we're falling flat on the gags yet again.
This is a great gag.
This is a repeat of yesterday.
That was a great... You can't deny that.
And thank you for everyone who's got in touch at Gridiron on Twitter about the shows we've done so far. Generally been really positive. So appreciate that. There's not a huge amount to report in terms of news from today. The Broncos and Panthers both had their press conferences and very much... similar kind of stories to recent days, and Cam Newton actually pointed out the fact that it's the same sort of stories as recent days. We did have the Broncos sending home a practice squad safety, but they have glossed over that very quickly. He was caught up in a prostitution sting, actually released by the authorities. They decided that there were no charges worth pressing, but the Broncos, in no-nonsense fashion, went out of the door with you. But Cam Newton hilariously came up to the podium and basically suggested that he'd answered all these questions already several times. So and in 24 hours, when he returned to the podium, he'd be answering the same questions with probably the same answers. And then proceeded to break down exactly what his next 24 hours would involve, including what he'd have for breakfast, when he'd brush his teeth, what time he'd get back to the hotel, what video games he maybe play when he gets back to relax. It was brilliant.
And he used the word golly.
He did use the word golly. Yeah.
And the key information from that was he had salmon for his breakfast and his breath smelled a little bit because of it. It was
classic.
That is kind of the hard-hitting stuff that we've had from the teams today. I mean, the funny one with the Denver situation is, if that was Aqib Talib, I'd have been interested to see if they'd have sent him home.
Yeah.
Very easy to make an example of a practice squad, nobody.
And in no way are we suggesting that Aqib Talib was anywhere near any prostitution areas.
I mean, he was in San Francisco, so he was near prostitution areas, but whether or not he was whether or not he was interacting with them, we will not speculate
about on. San Francisco, it's a really cool city. I've liked it, although I've spent most of it inside this giant building. But per person, that crazy per person is crazy. I mean, there are so many weirdos
we are in Soma and near the Tenderloin, which are the two areas we've not really branched out. At some point we'll take Ollie on a little sightseeing tour, get him down to the Golden Gate Bridge, get him down to Fisherman's Wharf and see what the touristy classy areas of San Francisco look like, rather than just walking up and down Mission and Market Street and getting bumped into by a lot of homeless people.
Oh my god, there's certain people singing to themselves, people shouting at other people, Tourette's. Oh, it's great though. Loving it's San Francisco.
It's just nice to have Will Gavin with us, who's obviously been to the city 100 times and is probably going to hold your hand while he guides you around the city and just say, Oliver,
I've been over there, you know, quite a few times.
Genuinely, what is amazing about where we are now down on Radio Row is that the names of people we've had coming through here and the people who we've just managed to bump into. I mean, just the interviews we've got today. Ronnie Lott, which we talked about yesterday, my favourite defensive back of all time from the 49ers. He was really great fun. Jerry Rice we spoke to very briefly as well. The number one player of all time, according to the NFL, when they did their rankings. Mike Haynes, who we spoke to last year, of course, about prostate cancer. We got him back on, talked about the cornerback play in this game coming up this weekend. Michael Brockers, we'll hear from a bit later on, defensive tackle of the St. Louis, not St. Louis, LA Rams. I've done that three times now. Jack Muhort will join us as well from the Indianapolis Colts, the guard. And we're going to hear from those guys just a little bit about what they think about this weekend.
The main interview that we got, which was the Atlanta Falcons
and
Matt Ryan.
In full, which is what I was going to say.
Sorry, man.
The fact is that when you're on Radio Row, you can look around you. And in fact, if I did a 180 degree turn right now, I'd see the man who caught the catch, Dwight Clark.
You would.
Sat just 10, 15 feet behind me. So this is the kind of thing, the kind of access you get constantly. And it's been so much fun today. But one person who did come over to talk about a bit of Gillette was Matt Ryan. And we had really good fun with him. And in fact, should we just play in Matt Ryan here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get that in and get that out of the way. I nearly said out of the way. Not out of the way. This guy is a top 10 quarterback playing in a team where they did not play up to a level they could have done last year. They obviously had a fantastic streak to start the season. We talk about that, their overall record, Dan Quinn, and maybe Ollie happens to mention our particular nickname for the NFC South. So here he is. And actually, this interview starts with him talking about the swag that he brings us over. I'm just going to leave that little bit in at the beginning for you.
I got you some gifts.
This is great.
I'd love to pretend that I'm most excited about our next interview on Radio Row because it's a starting top 10 quarterback in the NFL. But actually, I'm most excited because I've just been given a free Gillette razor. Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. I came with some gifts, the Fusion Pro Shield from Gillette for you guys. It's basically like an offensive line for your face.
I like it. Good.
Yeah,
good.
It protects you from all the things that you don't want to happen, like irritation and cuts and those kind of things. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'm happy to be on.
Can I congratulate you initially on the slickest sales pitch we've had this week. That was really, really cool.
There's three of us here. One that can't grow hair but needs to shave. And the two of us here that do have a bit of hair, but we really need to get rid of it.
Yeah, well, you know, even just trim it up a little bit. Gillette's got some other products that that are out there that could help you kind of keep the edges tight and keep things groomed up pretty neatly.
Look, Matt, it was a tough season this year. It started off so well, going undefeated for such a long streak, and you and Julio looked like you were having an incredible connection. What was your final assessment of the season as it all kind of ended up falling a little bit off the edge?
You know, I think we were inconsistent throughout the entire year. We did some things that were great, and you know, we looked like a team that should be really good, but then we also did some things that looked like a team that was not very good. And so, you know, when you finish at 8-8 and your record's right at .500, you're going to see both of those things. I think we've got the pieces, the nuts and bolts, to be a really good football team moving forward. And that's the thing that I'm very excited about.
One of those nuts and bolts is Devontae Freeman. What an incredible year that he had, especially that first sort of first six, seven, eight games. How impressed were you with him throughout the whole season?
Very impressed. Just the way that he burst onto the scene, you know, I was really proud of him. He was a guy that was a rookie for us last season and worked really, really hard. And then when he got his opportunity this season, he took full advantage of it. And that's the thing you love seeing, when guys get an opportunity and make it worthwhile.
Really take it.
And really take it. Yeah, go grab it. And he did that, and that was fun to watch.
And as we said, it was a rocket of a start to the Dan Quinn era. And he's a guy who we liked when he was in Seattle, and he looked like he really had you guys firing. As we said, the season didn't end the way you wanted it to. But what was your assessment of Dan in this first year as a rookie coach?
He was awesome. You know, he was great to be around. Just such great energy day to day, comes in, knows how to fire up the guys, get the guys motivated. He's very clear in terms of what he expects from each individual unit, from each individual player, and I think guys really enjoy playing for him.
One thing that interests me, I always look at guys with a new coordinator in that second season, it seems to really come together. Obviously Kyle Shanahan with you guys. How was that relationship, and how do you see it developing into next season?
Well, I think anytime you have a transition, it's tough because, you know, things are just a little bit different than what you're used to. I thought we made really good strides the entire year. I feel like although we started really hot and we did some great things, I felt like we were all on a better page later in the season, particularly playing Carolina the second time. I thought that was us as an offense and what we need to do and be moving forward. But I think we'll be much better served for it last year. I think we know each other a lot better, and I'm looking forward to it.
You've already hit the nail firmly on the head. We're seeing the and one Carolina Panthers, and the one in the and one is you guys. So what is the template to beat this team?
Well, you have to play really, really well. For us, it was very important to stay balanced, both run the ball and pass the ball efficiently. We didn't run the ball for a ton of yards, but we were able to have 30 rushing attempts, which slows down a defensive line. Their defensive line is about as good as it gets in the NFL, and we were able to slow it down by running the ball and sticking with the run. And then we married our play-action passing game right to our run game. Their linebackers are about as good as anybody about getting downhill and stopping the run. Mm. And so we use that to our advantage of getting those guys down, making the run look exactly like it, and then throwing the ball deep behind their linebackers. And then we were great on third down. We converted our third downs at a high level and made some plays. So it's a simple formula. It's just really, really hard to do.
But I think the difference between you and maybe what we're going to see from Peyton Manning this weekend is I'm not sure we're going to see him throw an 81-yard touchdown pass to his number one receiver. And Julio and your relationship, that's been incredible to watch over the years.
Yeah, he's just such an unbelievable player. To me, he's the best in the game. He's incredibly athletic, gifted, physical, competitive. But he's also extremely unselfish. I mean, he's about as good of a teammate as you could ask for. He just wants to win, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win games.
Well, I remember that 200-yard game against my Green Bay Packers that he had. And just
you guys came away with the win.
Well, we came away with the win.
That was a pretty good game.
Every time that you threw to Julio, you just thought, oh, no, not again. He is that big play guy, but he can also string lots and lots of passes together.
Yeah, he really can. And in that game, he got injured with, I think we had maybe two drives left in that game. He might have had 300 yards. I mean, if he would have stayed in, it was unbelievable to watch him play that game. But that's just how talented he is. You know, it's just some guys are different than the other guys, and he's one of those guys that's just different.
The NFC South was a losing team won that division last year.
It was a disgrace.
And
disgrace.
I mean, we did rename it that. But
I was a part of that.
I was going to tell you that. Yeah.
So we nicknamed it the NFC Disgrace. I do apologize.
So you're in town. You're here with Gillette, obviously. But your rivals are playing in this game. And is there part of you that thinks, right, NFC South on the map, you want to take on the champions twice a year? Or are you fully rooting for the Broncos on Sunday?
Like a little bit of both, right? Like, it's hard to root for the Panthers when you've played them so many times. You know, and you'd love to, it'd be a cool story for Peyton Manning. Maybe this is his last game if he goes out that way with a Super Bowl. It'd be really cool. I just think it's going to be hard to beat the Panthers because they're such a complete team. I mean, they're really, really good in all phases of their team.
Yeah, and just a final one from me. you were kind of a guy, I think it was 2012 when you're on the verge of the Super Bowl, who was in that MVP conversation. People were talking about you as that elite guy. What do you need to do personally over the off season, and is the challenge for you to get back to that level?
Well, I think it's finishing games.
Yep.
You know, the one thing I think we did really well in 2012 was find ways to win games late. You know, because in the NFL, your games are always going to be pretty close.
Yeah, that Seahawks game, for example.
That's it. You know, finding a way at the end of that game to get a couple completions to win. Getting back to that and finding ways that we can be successful with the guys that we have, I think that's what gets us back to that level.
Yeah. And you mentioned 2012 there. That's a prime example. That game against, remind me who it was again? Oh, yeah, the 49ers. was a game that you, so close.
No doubt. Absolutely.
There.
I mean, we really, you know, 7 or 8 yards away from being in a Super Bowl. And you know, that's the fine line that is the NFL. And hopefully we can be on the right side of that fine line as we move forward.
And also that retaken kick in Wembley in London a few years ago as well.
How about that? Yeah, for all the listeners in the UK. I mean, I know football is becoming bigger over there now, but for them to realize how heartbreaking of a loss was for us, I mean, that was a long flight back to Atlanta after that game because you know, felt like we should have won it about 3 times.
Well, hopefully in 2 years' time, we'll see you come back again and leave our shores with a win.
I'll tell you what, we had a great time over there. It was a great experience. The atmosphere for the game was about as cool as it gets. Wembley's a great place, and you know, I really enjoyed it.
Look, Matt, real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming over and taking the time to join us, and for Gillette as well. And we wish you luck for the off-season and going into next year.
All right, I appreciate it. Use those razors, guys.
Okay.
If you come back around tomorrow, we'll all be clean shaven. I can't believe you said to Matt Ryan that we call the NFC South the NFC disgrace last season.
The brilliance. I was part of that. But said kind of with a real air of comedy was one of the great moments of the day.
It was great, actually. I really liked
Ricky Gervais. I was part of that. What's your problem? It was very, very funny. And I think by that point we'd established a bit of rapport and we'd shown that we liked him and his team. So he was all right to have a bit of fun with it. But that was really great. And that's the kind of thing hopefully we're going to get over the next few days. And, you know, where can we hope to get 10 minutes with Matt Ryan anywhere else?
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And there's guys like, I know there's guys like Joe Montana, Drew Brees are going to be around tomorrow. So we're not promising we're going to bring those guys, but we already have some exciting guests lined up. Jan Kendrick West from the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and I'm sure Will can now fill me in on a couple of the other guys that he's been booking in.
Well, it looks like we might be able to get the Kansas City Chiefs owner.
Kansas City Chiefs owner on Friday. Both Allens. Alan Hearns is booked in for tomorrow morning, and Alan Robinson hopefully will be booked in for Friday morning.
Alan.
We've got Todd Gurley coming to join us on Friday morning as well. Cam Irving from the Browns. We've got Paxton Lynch, potential first-round quarterback. He'll be joining us on Friday morning. Lee Steinberg, super agent, who's been around here today. We're going to his party on Saturday, and he'll be joining us to talk about the fact that he has represented the most number one overall picks of all time at 8. Now, admittedly, some of those include the likes of Ryan Leaf, but obviously he's very good at his job because Ryan Leaf was minting it as a number one pick.
And then he was burgling houses because he blowed it all on whatever.
I'm glad you finished that sentence where you did, Matt Sherry. So we've got some really genuinely great stuff coming up over the next few days, and of course the kind of interviews that just happen to fall into your lap when you get to be doing stuff like this. I know we're kind of banging on about how great and how fun it is, but it's genuinely been a really, really good couple of days. I'm desperate for some sleep. Last night we went out to the media party, and me and Ollie found a barman who made a cracking whiskey sours.
Oh my God, so good.
I think I probably had about 6 drinks off him and slipped him a $30 tip, which I think was pretty reasonable.
I think that was great.
And
I gave him a thing.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, yeah.
But he
Can
was...
you guys just get a room, please?
We've got one,
mate.
Did you get into it then?
I did wake up Ollie this morning at 5 a.m. by taking the loudest piss in the history of man, because the toilets here have a ludicrous amount of water in them. Why do
really
we do that? The water is pretty much full to the brim.
On a serious note, when you kind of do have a big piss, you're very close to it just getting over the rim.
A little bit of overspill.
Like on a morning when it's just flying out, you're like, oh, this is getting pretty precarious.
Just spotted Josh Duhamel on the TV over there.
TV. Come on, mate.
No, but Josh Duhamel, if you're familiar with him from such shows as that one he was in, on TV and
films
like...
He was at Vegas,
like,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty famous. But Sherry went and literally chased him across the room. It was like Ronnie Lott was walking through. Chased him down. I told that story on the other version of the podcast. Damn it. I thought I was doing a really good callback. You chased him a good 50 feet away just to take a photo with him so you could wind your wife up.
That was true, yeah. Absolutely. He's a handsome guy.
And then I then sent the photo to my wife and got the similar sort of reaction. So
Yeah, that was a great kind of 10 minutes. I then returned to my seat and FaceTimed my family to tell my wife, and she was at my parents' house, and I was chatting to me dad, and then suddenly San Francisco 49ers running back Sean Drawn comes and sits opposite. I kind of tell me dad he's there, and Sean came around the table and started chatting to me old man for a couple of minutes. So
absolutely brilliant.
It was a really crazy 5 minutes.
I actually had a really good chat with Sean, and that'll go out in a future podcast. This is the other thing. We're playing you these interviews we've got in today, but the stuff we've got that isn't going to make it into today's show, but that will play out over the next couple of months, the likes of Greg Jennings, the full interviews with Michael Brockers and Jack Muhort, Tim Crumry, who is a former Bengals offensive lineman. You'll remember him if you remember Super Bowl 23 as the guy who brutally broke his leg in that game. But he came over and we had a fascinating conversation about concussions and
really taking
and CTE
that story into a different place, where I guess a lot, probably all of our listeners have never heard kind of the developments in terms of treatment that are available out there.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Sean Drone, of course, well, I had a good chat with him, and fascinating talking to him about Jarryd Hayne and Jarryd Hayne's running style, and also about the Chip Kelly offense and how obviously the 49ers play that kind of north-south very power running style, and then you're going to get Chip Kelly coming in with his zone blocking and playing very much more lateral, playing much more east-west. And Sean Drone was like, that's the kind of football I want to play. I was hoping when we were starting for the 49ers, maybe I'd be allowed to move to the outside occasionally instead of just making all these runs up the middle. So he seemed absolutely delighted with the hire of Chip Kelly,
actually. We also spoke to a guy from the Philadelphia Eagles who kind of gave us an insight onto what went wrong there. And I got the impression that he wasn't overly disappointed to see Chip go, but it was interesting. He kind of alluded to a lot of issues within the organisation and an understanding as to why Kelly got fired.
Well, we also spoke to Greg Jennings, and who went on about his one phone call with Adam Gase, and he still says that he's going to be a Miami Dolphin next season, but it didn't really seem like he would be.
Yeah. I think it was BS.
We won't talk about Greg Jennings anymore. And one of the best things about being here is seeing the classic Ollie Schmoos. Getting out there and chatting people up. And I love it. I was talking about the media party. We got off onto a tangent. So we went to this party, and obviously we had quite a few drinks. We saw Dan Hansus briefly. I only mentioned that because he complimented my hair game. Thank you.
He really did.
But we went out afterwards, and so the fact is, we're all feeling a little bit worse for wear today, and if this podcast is a little bit ropey and a little bit rambly, we apologise for that. We also saw the future of television today, Matt Sherry.
Oh, incredible.
Virtual reality. I mean, we literally were stood courtside. Ability to move our heads and see all over the stadium and then watch Steph Curry make a three. It was absolutely incredible.
And then the boxing was amazing as well. You're at a corner, and the boxers, it's like you're right there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then, so just to explain, these are these kind of virtual reality headsets. The one we used was the Samsung Gear with a S6 plugged into the front of it. So it's something you'll be able to do on your phone. And that Warriors Pelicans game, which we got to see the 30-second demo of, that's actually a game they streamed live in that fashion. That's not something they've recorded and then edited and put onto there. That was from a live streaming. Unbelievably good stuff. So the reason we mentioned that is obviously we were talking about this, the Gear VR, and the guys came over from that, and one of the people who's representing that was the brilliant Ronnie Lott. And you're going to hear me fangirl a little bit here, guys, and I apologise for that already. He signed my Hall of Fame jersey, my limited edition one, and I got a photo with him, and it was an emotional moment to happen at like 7:30 in the morning. I enjoyed it immensely.
Were you up at 7:30?
Yeah, I tell you what, mate, we were in here from around about, you know, I think it was about 6:30 we were here from, getting prepped for Ronnie Lott and then Jerry Rice. And
it's a hard knock life.
We're going to be doing exactly the same tomorrow, except tomorrow we won't have been out drinking till 2 in the morning, maybe. We won't feel quite so terrible at the end of the day.
You are second wind, Gavin.
Sherry had his favourite... The one thing I've noticed about you, Matt, is that you are a man of great hyperbole.
Yeah, I love some hyperbole.
Anytime you eat a new meal, it is the greatest time you've ever had that. Yeah. And the Greek wrap, which you enjoyed today.
That was good, yeah.
It was good. But earlier on, you were like, I'm definitely going there again. That's the best thing I've eaten.
I never said it was the best thing I'd eaten, actually.
What's the best thing you've eaten since you've been here?
Them ribs yesterday, they were great in the media centre.
I think they might have been what gave me a dicky tummy, though.
Well, Dad didn't have one.
Yeah, well.
I quite like the potato skins.
Oh, they're strong.
With the quail egg.
I think we should go back to Tempest.
Yeah,
tonight.
that was good.
Good bar, good food.
Well, again, Will, we're not going out drinking today, would you?
I feel like I just got a second wind, guys. Right.
Me and Ollie have just been talking about your inevitable second wind.
Like, there's a lot more than second winds in our hotel room. Whoa!
Glorious, right. So, on that illustrious note, let's look to our first interview of the day, the first person we spoke to earlier on, the absolutely brilliant and delightful Ronnie Lott. So, we're now joined on Radio Row, and they often say don't meet your heroes, but this is the man that I personally believe is my favourite all-time 49er and my favourite all-time defensive back. So I woke up at 5 this morning getting excited about this interview, and that's genuine. Four-time Super Bowl winner during the 80s with the 49ers on that incredible team. Ronnie Lott, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great, and thank you for the compliment, man. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts about that. A lot of times in life, you don't realize that, you know, you have people that they woke up to watch you play, and they not only did they wake up to watch you play, but now they're able to share it with you. So, man, thank you very much.
Hey, when you say wake up to watch you play, we were watching you play at 1 a.m. most nights.
Oh, I know, I know. That's what I'm like. That I know.
So, look, we've got loads to chat with you about, but the first thing is, and we've just had a go on this thing using the Samsung. That's the Next VR. Joining us as well is David Kramer, and I first had a play with one of these VR headsets probably about a year and a half ago, and at that point it was quite basic, a little bit of video, a couple of games, but we've just had a look at live sports on this thing, and that looks incredible.
Yeah, we've put together a live broadcast platform for virtual reality, and we're bringing, you know, live sports experiences to sports fans everywhere across the world. So taking it to, you know, to London and to Shanghai and throughout the United States, and we're working with, you know, all the different sports content providers to provide those experiences.
And the amazing thing is, Ollie just had a play with it. Look at him, he's still blown away.
It was incredible. Honestly, it was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. You put your head, you put this thing around your eyes, for those that don't know, you put it around your eyes, and you're inside the stadium, and then you move your head to watch the ball move up and down the court. Oh, I just couldn't believe it. It would be really great for other sports like soccer, cricket. If you go over to India, cricket would be unbelievable.
We actually have cricket on the calendar coming up in the next few months. So we're going to be, you know, working to bring, that's the number two most popular sport in the world.
Yeah,
behind soccer, behind European football.
Ronnie, for you, I mean, seeing the game in this way, and could you imagine that when you were playing in the 80s that one day a fan could sit at home with that on their head and be getting a 360 view?
When you live out here in California and you live in Northern California, yeah, you can actually know that it's going to happen. You can actually know that the technology is going to happen. You can actually know that you're going to have companies like NextVR that are going to be in the forefront. What I love is the fact that not only are they in the forefront, the best part about it is for a fan, now you get a chance to actually feel. And here we were talking about you got a chance to know. Now you're going to have a chance to feel. And I think one of the great things about NextVR is that experience is going to be richer. That experience is going to be so dynamic, as you pointed out.
For guys in the UK who can't get over to games regularly, because it's an 11-hour flight, this kind of thing is ideal.
It would be unbelievable.
So when are you looking to have this rolling out? When are you looking to have live games on it? When are you looking to do... I know the Warriors-Pelicans you did do this year, but when are we looking... When can somebody in the UK get their hands on this technology?
So they can get their hands on the technology right now, and 2016 is going to be the year that we bring regular scheduled content to the platform. What we're doing now, you know, we did a week and a half ago, we did a live boxing match with Fox. We've done live NBA streams. We've done a number of live events, and we're working to bring the content. One of the things that's going to be particularly relevant, I think, across Europe and Asia in particular, we announced recently a partnership with the ICC, the International Champions Cup. So we're going to be bringing all those matches on our platform in virtual reality.
Our biggest problem is that we're on radio. You're going to put us out of a job.
No. The great thing for you guys is that you get to talk about it. I mean, not only do you get to talk about it, I think one of the fascinating things in sports is that you're the voices of the people right now. You're the voices of the people. You're the voices of the Super Bowl. I mean, you get to let people touch and hear about Ronnie Lott and about Next VR. I think the bigger question is, now people at some point are going to be able to sit there in the UK and to be able to sit there and watch their best favorite athlete and be able to watch not only their best favorite athlete. That guy could be, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo. It could be Messi. Right. It could be one of those guys,
Ronnie,
like that.
We need to get on and talk about football.
Really?
I'm loving the Next VR, but the first thing is, for the BBC this weekend, we're going to be doing our top 10 Super Bowl moments, and one of them is a game you played in Super Bowl 23, the 49ers 20, the Bengals 16, but going into that final drive, you're 3 points down, and Joe is in the huddle with the offense, and then he has this wonderful moment. Were you aware of what was being said in that offensive huddle when you were on the sideline just hoping they're going to go out and make
plays? Well, you got to remember, I was on the sideline, and I was like, we're not going to Disneyland, you know, because everybody was saying that, hey, if we win the game, we're going to Disneyland, we're going to have all these great experiences. And for me on the sideline, can he do it one more time? Can he do it one more time? And the funny thing about can he do it one more time is he did it one more time. You know, Joe was the kind of guy that in those situations, most people, their rear end is too tight. In his situation, and just knowing him, he is very, very calm. Calm to the point where he said, hey, man, there's John Candy down here on the other side. So it was a great story that he comes into huddle, and he's sitting there in the huddle, and he goes, hey, guys, check it out. John Candy's sitting down there. We got to go 98 yards. Yeah. But he points him out, and I think one of the great things for me is that when he pointed him out, he was basically getting everybody to understand, man, it's not that big of a deal. We're going to make this.
So, I mean, as those 11 plays are developing and they're moving the ball down the field and you've got the penalty that moves at those stages, what's your reaction on the sideline as that's driving down? And then, of course, the touchdown pass, the win.
I can tell you, first of all, starting where we were at, you know, like a lot of things, it's a thriller. You're sitting on the sideline, man, at the edge of your seat. You're going, there's just no way. And then eventually you get down the field, and he throws the ball to the one guy, and he drops it. And when he drops it, I'm like, oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, of course, he then catches the ball, you know, and John Taylor catches the touchdown. And you guys know, and I know, that right that moment for me, I started realizing that, wait a minute, we got to go back on the field. We got to stop them. We got to, you know. And so all of a sudden, the emotion of the Super Bowl was the fact that we couldn't lose this one. And the reason we can't lose this one is that we got to go back out there and stop Boomer Esiason. Went back on the field. We're able to stop Boomer Esiason. Game over. But in those situations, as big as the moment was of John Taylor, and as big as the moment was, we had to be focused on the fact that we had to go back out there and get our job done. So, yeah, a great, exciting, thrilling moment for a lot of people. A tight, you know, moment for me and a tight moment for our defense to go back out on the field and get the job done.
And listen, that West Coast offense, we talk so much about it, and Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, who's here today, just over there with NFL Network at the moment. But I kind of feel like the defense is forgotten in that. I mean, yourself, you've been just announced in the Super Bowl Golden Team, which is fantastic. But what was it like in practice when it's you guys going up against Jerry Rice and going up against Joe Montana? And
well, I can tell you this. The best part about it, for me, the best part about it is that Jerry, Joe, and anybody that you ever competed against, there was a sense of bringing your best every day. So imagine today you're waking up and you're saying, hey, you know what? Today is my best day, and I'm going to give you everything I could possibly give you. Jerry was the best at giving you everything. He was the Michael Jordan of being able to show you that every day mattered. And so for us, he raised the bar and created a standard of how we were going to practice. And for all of us, We practiced very, very hard. But practicing against those guys made me better. I mean, one of the reasons I think I got the yellow jacket was because of a guy like Jerry Rice, and practicing against him and Joe and Roger Craig and Russ Francis and all the greats that, you know, were on that team, and John Taylor. And so there were so many guys on that team that had the sense of knowing their responsibility, but not only knowing their responsibility, but their sense of excellence. And Bill Walsh was the orchestrator of making sure that excellence mattered every day.
Look, Ronnie, we've got to get out. I know you've got so much to do today and carry on with the next VR. But just a final question. You're here at Super Bowl 50, back in the Bay Area where you had so much success for all those years. So how do you see Sunday going? Who do you see taking home that trophy?
Well, Sunday should be a game where we're talking about the defense, and it should be a game where we're talking about both defenses. I think everybody wants to talk about the other things with the game, but to me, it's going to be a great defensive game. I think Luke Kuechly is the best football player on the field. I think Kuechly will be able to bring it home, and I think the Panthers are going to win the game.
Great stuff. So, Ronnie and David, thank you so much for joining us for Next VR and for BBC. It's been really great. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Ronnie, just before you go... Ronnie Lott there, genuinely delightful. Hearing the stuff about what Jerry Rice did for him was brilliant, and what playing opposite him wasn't. I just thought we had Dwight Clark approaching us at the back again. He's still over there. Definitely try and grab him as he walks past and just get a quick live comment on the podcast about these great players. But we spoke to him about Super Bowl 23 and about that play, because it's going to be on the BBC show on Thursday night where they talk about the top 10 Super Bowl moments. That's produced by our friend Simon Clancy, obviously contributor to Gridiron, top bloke. He's going to be doing that show. And I briefly managed to grab Jerry Rice as well and ask him about his memories of that great moment where Joe Montana in the huddle, of the drive that he needed to go and score to win a game, looked up and spotted John Candy in the stands.
Oh, my God. I remember Joe Montana. He comes in the huddle. He squats down. He's calling out two plays. And someone says something about John Candy being in the stands. I had complete blinders on because I was so focused in on what I had to do. And to be able to move that ball all the way downfield over 80 yards.
92 on 11 plays, I can tell you exactly.
It was 92, oh my God. You know, with everything on the line and winning that Super Bowl is just something I'll never forget.
Fantastic. And for this weekend, what are your thoughts?
Should be a good football game. Panthers and also Broncos. We just got to wait and see because, you know, I think a lot of people are leaning towards the Panthers. But this is the Super Bowl. Anything can happen. You never want to count Omaha.
I was saying, you never lost Manning one, out. So.
So, you know, we're just going to have to watch him and let this one play out. But it's going to be a good football game.
Jerry, real pleasure. Genuinely. Yeah.
Hey.
Say never meet heroes.
Pleasure,
it's not
man.
True.
My pleasure.
Do you know what I loved about that most of all? Is that he made youth think that he didn't know the exact details of that drive.
Oh, yeah. When he went, I think it was about 80 yards. And I was like, I think you mean 92 yards, 11 plays, Jerry Rice.
But the thing is, he knew that. But these NFL players are so skilled at making you think that you're the most important person.
Jerry Rice must have spoken to between 50 and 100 people today.
Yeah.
In interview situations. He obviously took photos with dozens and hundreds of more than that. But you know what I mean? He did interviews with a lot of people today, and I was just one of those people. But he's such a personable and lovely guy that he makes you feel like in that brief moment that you're the only person that matters in the world. He probably locked eyes with me, chatted to me, got into it, and it was great chatting to him. So really, obviously enjoyed that. Got a photo with him, which if you've looked on Twitter, you can see the beaming smile on my face. So the day started off pretty strong for the Gavin.
Again, what I loved about that.
You're never going to call yourself the Gavin again, are you?
That was pretty much the worst thing I've ever done.
It was, at least it wasn't the G unit. My favourite thing about it was that... These Hall of Famer guys are so nice and warm and personable and lovely. Ronnie Lott was exactly the same. I was disappointed that Ronnie wasn't wearing his gold jacket. Jerry Rice was. And the gold jacket kind of is
it's not, it doesn't shine, but it's like you can see it from a mile off, and it looks resplendent in here.
I've been genuinely annoyed that there are at least two members of the media here who are wearing similarly coloured suit jackets to the Hall of Fame gold jacket, and genuinely
clearly intentional as well,
yeah,
isn't it?
Genuinely annoys me. It's trying to get attention, trying to get people to come up and talk to them, and it is utterly ludicrous.
All of the security staff have got Titans mustard, Dijon mustard coloured sort of goldy type jackets, so not the greatest look, but I still quite like them.
They're theoretically meant to be gold, but right,
jacket watch.
We've got a few more interviews we want to bring. We want to do a little bit of Michael Brockers, a little bit of Jack Muhort, and then we've got to break down our part of the game that we're going to break down today for our daily feature that Ollie came up with that we've not come up with a name for. But should we first of all, let's hear from Mike Haynes, because
he's a lovely guy.
If you listen to the interview with Mike Haynes last year, we got about 15 minutes with him. We talked a lot about his career with the Raiders, a lot about the time he spent in LA. And it's great to speak to him now, because as an LA Raider and as a guy who was from Los Angeles and grew up supporting the Rams, we talked about that. We talked about prostate cancer again, because it's not a problem that's gone away in the 12 months since we've been away. I mentioned Brett the Hitman Hart to him, who announced on Facebook today that he's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer.
And a brilliant moment where he just presumed that we could call Brett the Hitman
Hart. Yeah, I'm not sure he knew who Brett Hitman Hart was.
Who is he?
I think he assumed that we knew him.
Do you not know who Brett Hart is?
Nope.
Famous 90s wrestler.
Nope.
Are you joking?
No, I don't like
him. I mean, literally, Scrags is disgusted. The look on his face. Scrags, I'm going to pop the mic up for a second. Just give us an immediate reaction to your thoughts on Ollie not knowing who Brett the Hitman is.
What?
Perfect.
I don't know who he is.
Well, he's just got prostate cancer, and he posted this really emotional message on Facebook, and it was great. And so we chatted about the Know Your Stats stuff.
Where's your music now?
Oh, wow.
We talked about to cry.
Yeah. Has anybody spotted that just behind Ollie there is the option to do diving NFL catches into a foam bath?
What?
I'm going to be doing that in about 15 minutes.
You know what we need to do? We need to go and find Warren Moon or someone like that and catch a pass off an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, that could be nice.
There are a few of them milling around.
Warren who?
Great. That joke is literally never going to get old. It's 3 years ago that happened now, and forever he will be Warren Moon. Who?
Do you do that when Warren comes on the show? Because he's obviously a good friend of the show.
Definitely don't.
Okay.
And in fact, when he does come on the show next time, or if he comes on tomorrow, I'm going to make sure you say it to his face.
After what?
Fill the trolley with your favourite brands on rollback at Asda. A 38-pack of Fairy Non-Bio Capsules was £8.50, now £5.75. And Lenore Gold Fabric Conditioner was £4, now £2.50. Big brands, small prices. Don't compromise. Asda. Save money, live better. Selected stores subject to availability. Lenore 1.925 litres. Ends 18th of March.
You did the Matt Ryan today. That's not going to be an issue.
What do you mean?
I was part of that disgrace.
Brilliant. So let's hear from a Hall of Fame cornerback. We started the day with a Hall of Fame defensive back. We ended the day with a Hall of Fame defensive back. Brilliant stuff. This is former Patriot, former Los Angeles Raider, Mike Haynes. This is going to be an amazing way to bookend the day today, because we started the day talking with a Hall of Fame defensive back and one of the greatest of all time, and we're ending the day talking with a defensive back. It was Ronnie Lott at the start of the day. The end of the day, joined us last year, of course, Michael Haynes. Mike, how have you been enjoying your Super Bowl 50 experience so far?
So far, really good. It's a little bit funny to walk around and everyone wearing these big jackets and scarves and everything. It's 60 degrees, people. Come on, that's warm.
That is a summer's day in the UK.
I was going to say, for us Brits, I was in shorts yesterday. No, Mike, we spoke last year, and obviously for people who aren't aware, maybe didn't listen to last year's interview, Hall of Fame cornerback with the Los Angeles Raiders, with the Patriots as well, but you're talking about a much more important thing right now than football, to be honest, and it's something that we talked about in depth, obviously, last year, but it's not an issue that goes away, prostate cancer. The big announcement today, it's not football related, but Brett the Hitman Hart came out on social media today and announced to the world that he had prostate cancer and talked about raising awareness and raising money for it. So what are you guys doing for prostate cancer here, and what can people do to get involved?
Well, let me ask you, did he say what his Gleason score is?
I don't think he did in his post, no.
Well, ask him. You get a chance.
I'll
ask
him.
Okay. So if his Gleason is 6, then he found out early, and he's going to be fine. So that's kind of the message with prostate cancer. Know your family history. Know your own personal risk. If it runs in your family, there's a 1 in 3 chance that you're going to get it. If you're African-American, there's a 1 in 5. For all men, it's 1 in 7. So most men are going to get this disease before they die.
And it's something that you personally overcame and battled through. And talk to us just about your experience.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How you came to be diagnosed and what happened with you.
So many men are going to get it. And I knew absolutely nothing. When I talked to a doctor at a screening and he was asking me these questions, what was my PSA? I didn't even know what PSA was. And if it ran in my family, I had no idea. I knew my grandfather died of something, but I didn't know that it was prostate cancer. So not knowing my risk, my doctor suggested I go for a biopsy after looking at my chart and having a conversation with me. And a biopsy is the only real way to tell if you have prostate cancer. So they found I had cancer in 9 of the 12 places that they checked. So I had a good amount of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
But we found out early. And my Gleason was 6. That's why I was asking about the Gleason. It measures the aggressiveness of the cancer. So they said I had plenty of time to make a good choice and a good decision of how I wanted to deal with it. And I chose to have my prostate removed completely. And I'm living a normal life without a prostate, which you can. In the old days, when I say old days, say 20 years ago, the results were not really good. When a man had his prostate removed, they wanted to make sure they got all the cancer, and so they would destroy a lot of the nerves.
Yeah.
And men had a lot of issues because of that. But today, with the technology the way it is, they're not having trouble with the nerves. They're able to go right around the nerves. They can see the nerves. They're having fantastic results. So you can have pretty much a normal life. You know, but the trick is catching it early. If you wait until you're seeing symptoms, oftentimes that's too late. That's why the blood test is the best way right now. So simple blood test and a digital rectal exam takes 5 seconds. Most men are like going through the roof when they think about that. But it doesn't take very long. And the blood test is something you can do every year. So if it runs in your family, you should start when you're about 40. You know, at least having a conversation with your doctor. If it doesn't run your family, you can wait till you're like 50, like most things that men do, you know, like colon and all that, with all the other things we do, you don't have to worry about it until you're in your 50s. Prostate cancer would be the same unless it runs in your family.
And in terms of what you guys do with the NFL and the Urology Care Foundation, just tell us a little bit about Know Your Stats and where people can find out more information.
Well, Know Your Stats is our awareness campaign, and it's really a website, knowyourstats.org, where there's a lot of frequently asked questions, a place where you can go to learn about what's going on in your own community, what kind of research is being done, and some of the new results and things like that. But it's an awareness campaign where we use football players, a lot of them Hall of Famers, not always, to encourage men to go talk to their doctors, or encourage women to talk to their husbands to go see their doctors about dealing with their prostate cancer issues.
And it's such a hugely important issue to be raising on, and I'm glad that you're able to again come and join us and talk about it. But obviously there's plenty of football to talk about as well. You're here in your gold jacket. We love seeing
that's why we're here, really, right?
Representing the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
No, raising issues of health is hugely important.
Oh, I appreciate you guys for that.
I want to know, before we talk about the Super Bowl, of course, you played for the Los Angeles Raiders, and in these last couple of months, we've had the announcement that the Rams are going to be returning to LA. What are your thoughts on a team returning to Los Angeles? I know it's not the Raiders, but having a team back in that great city.
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I grew up a Ram fan.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that there's going to be football in Los Angeles. LA is a football community. They love football. They deserve a great football team and a great venue to watch football. So I'm really excited about that. The pluses that a team bring to a community is huge, especially when you're talking about kids. So when you need someone to talk to a kid about making better decisions, about not drinking, not doing drugs, about doing the right things in life, what better person to talk to their kid about it than a professional athlete? And so football teams are doing that all over America. They do a lot to help with charity and other organizations that are trying to be doing meaningful things in the community. And the Los Angeles folks haven't had that for a while. They've had the Galaxy. They've had the Lakers and the Clippers and the Dodgers and the Angels. but they haven't had a football team, and most of the football teams take a lot of pride in doing that, and they try to excel at that.
Are you still based in Los Angeles now?
No, I live in San Diego now, believe it or not. North County of San Diego.
So hopefully you've still got a football team there in the
Yeah, exactly, well. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's really funny, this year and for many years, I guess, the Chargers, their stadium fills up with the team that they're playing against.
Yeah.
Instead of it being Charger fans, there are more Raider fans and Patriot fans and Bronco fans and Chief fans, you know, than there are Charger fans. And that's a little, you know, upsetting, I think. For, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be loaded with Charger fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully it will be going forward.
Yeah, and it would be remiss ahead of Sunday to have a guy like yourself with us and not touch upon defensive backs in this game. The Denver group is absolutely exceptional, probably the best group in the league with the depth in terms of 1-3. How do you assess those guys, and how do you assess the matchups on Sunday?
Well, I think both teams have a great defense, and both have great secondary players, defensive players, defensive back players. And the challenge is going to be Denver, because Cam Newton is going to be extending plays by running around, and that's a nightmare for a defensive back.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a nightmare. If a guy runs his regular route that he's supposed to run on this play, not so tough. But if the quarterback extends the play and now the receiver is just trying to get open,
it's just freelancing.
It's a nightmare. And Cam Newton does that for his team. And he has a cannon of an arm, so he can throw it a long way.
Hey, you guys were able to come into a Super Bowl, though, and hold a Washington team coached by Joe Gibbs, who were a great team at that point, and hold them to just 9 points. I mean, how do you prepare yourself for a big game in such a way that you can have that kind of performance on a defense?
Well, the Raiders had played the Redskins earlier in the year, and early in the year, the Redskins had beaten them, and they were defending Super Bowl champs, so they were expected to win. I'd never been on a field where the team that we were going to play was so confident. You could see it in just their body language. Yeah. The way they said hello to you, you know, was completely different. I had never seen anything like that. And so when we went back into the game, into the locker room before the game, I think everybody was ready and prepared for a big war when we walked out. And so that's what we got. So we kept our game faces on for four quarters and came out victoriously. Our defensive coordinator did a great job putting us in the right place to make big plays, and we did. We made quite a few big plays, and Joe Theismann, who was having a fantastic career, you know, 2 years in a row, just wasn't able to get on track that day, and that helped us.
And you personally got to pick him off as well.
I did. I got lucky.
And I'm sure you're a Hall of Fame corner. You're allowed to say you got more than lucky.
Well, you know, I didn't even, at the time, didn't even realize, wow, I got a Super Bowl, an interception in the Super Bowl. It was many years after I retired that everyone goes, hey, you got a Super Bowl interception. I go, yeah, I did. You know? And it's now gaining importance. I wish I would have played in more Super Bowls. To me, that's why we play this game. It's to play in the biggest game every year. I only got to do it once. So the guys who get to do it more than once, I'm a little jealous of them, you know? Win or lose, it's still a huge accomplishment to get there.
This is an interesting thing to look back on. I know we're talking about this year's game and maybe an odd one, but when we last spoke, it was just 3 days before the last Super Bowl, and we spoke at that point about how you'd always wished that you'd won one with the Patriots and you hadn't had to move away. Well, the end of that game was, of course, finished off by a rookie corner in Malcolm Butler, and what a play he made. And how did you see that play and that performance? Because I kind of wanted to ask you at the time, I thought, where's Mike Haynes? I need to ask him about that, because that was an incredible play.
That was such an incredible play, and we will remember that play for as long as we live.
Yeah.
You know, that was such a big interception, a key interception. Mine wasn't like that, you know. Mind the game was already out of hand, and they were trying to catch up. It didn't mean as much. But that one, he doesn't make that play, they lose. They might lose that game. So it was, you know, it was a great game to watch. I couldn't believe the play before when the receiver caught the ball. I couldn't believe that play.
Yeah,
that was
unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
So two back-to-back great plays, or, you know, pass-type plays. And Malcolm Butler is really a good player. This year I got a chance to watch him. That wasn't luck. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a solid player.
He kind of... It was that game at the start of the season where Bill Belichick really showed his faith in him by putting him on Antonio Brown. But
For a guy who was undrafted and is now in his second year, he looks like he could really take that step and become one of the elite corners in the league, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's fun to watch you know, guys like him come into the league, surprise everybody, and then you wonder, is he going to be able to, you know, keep it going?
Yep.
And he is. I think he's in the right place being at the Patriots, where they take every game seriously.
Yeah.
They don't look past any competitor. And he's in a good environment to learn, to develop really great habits that'll help him for the rest of his career.
And what was that moment like for you last year? You obviously played for the Patriots. Was that, were you rooting for the Patriots in that game?
Of course I was rooting for him. Well, one thing, I've rooted for the AFC my entire career and afterwards.
Yeah.
I've only rooted for the NFC once, and that's when New Orleans Saints were in it, and it was after Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And we needed something positive to help the people down there. That was the only time I ever really rooted for the NFC. So I'm back to my usual game, rooting for the AFC, and hoping that somehow, some way, the Broncos will find a way to win.
And do you think that they can find a way to win? As a defensive back, you look at Aqib Talib, Chris Harris. Can those guys, especially if something you touched upon earlier, especially if those guys up front can keep Cam in the pocket and stop him extending plays, is that how Denver win the game?
I think that's a good way to do it, you know. And you know, Wade Phillips is genius. He's one of the great defensive coordinators of all time.
Yep.
And I never expected New England to get beat by Denver.
No, did I.
I don't think anyone did, but they did. And so I don't think anyone's expecting Denver to beat Carolina, but they could.
Yeah.
And that's why we watch. That's why we come, and that's why they play the game.
Did you in your career do a huge amount? I know it's become quite popular recently, of corner blitzes, of getting off and getting to the quarterback as well. Because obviously we talk about the big
interceptions. We did that.
Is that something where you got? How much fun is it when you're in a defense where you look at someone like Wade Phillips and he does do so many different looks and so many disguised looks, and the defensive backs do get a chance to get up there and try and hit the quarterback. Yeah. That's got to be great fun as a player.
That's a lot of fun. You know, I didn't get to blitz the quarterback very much, but I sure wanted to, you know. you know, in practice we'd run it. I hope they call my number in the game, and I think I got one or two sacks in my career, but it's also, I realized though on those blitzes that the offensive linemen are pretty dang strong, and I actually had against the Kansas City Chiefs, I was blitzing. And a guy barely saw me at the very last minute and just stuck his arm out and knocked me to kingdom come. I mean, he knocked me 7 yards.
I guess the ones where the quarterback doesn't see it coming and the
that's
receivers.
The one. That's the one you're looking for. You're looking for the guy who doesn't see it coming.
Fantastic. Look, before we go, Mike, there's one more guy I wanted to ask you about. And again, this is more a bit of a weird left field one. But as a former Raider, a guy who retired this year, Charles Woodson, many of them. We can talk Ronnie Lott today. We can talk to Mike Haynes as well. I think we can talk about someone as good as Charles Woodson. And he retired this year. And really want to ask you, while we're talking about health, how impressive is it that he can have the longevity to switch from corner to safety, to go for that long in his career, to play until he's 40, 41 years old? That's pretty incredible.
That is incredible. And it's something that I wanted to do. It's something I talked to Al Davis about me doing. Al didn't want me to do it.
So, really?
And so at that stage of my career, no one was really interested in me playing corner. I was 37, you know? And so I ended up having to retire, because if I had never played safety, why would a team bring me in to play safety? The only place I was going to be able to play would have been for the Raiders, and Al said no to it. So it didn't happen for me. I'm glad it happened for Charles. He's had a remarkable career, college career and pro career. He's been a game changer, and he's been a great spokesperson for the game, for the Raiders, Packers, you know. He's still got a bright future. It'll be interesting to see how he contributes to the sport afterwards, you know, off the field.
Certainly. We know you're pulling for the Broncos this weekend, and we're hoping for you they win. Just for one final time, for people who need to know about this, because I think everyone needs to know about it. We talk about, you say, no, those stats, the 1 in 7 men, 1 in 5 African-American men. Those are incredibly high numbers. So just one more time, where can people find out more about it, and what should they do about going and getting checked? And
so we just want encourage men to know their own personal risk. If it runs in their family, have a conversation with their doctor. That's really important. And go to, if they have questions, they, you know, they're wondering, do, are they having symptoms now? Go to the website, knowyourstats.org. And they have a lot of frequently asked questions. They have information, a lot of times, of what's going on in their community. Sometimes there's information for free screenings in their area. But you can always shoot an email to anyone. And it was the American Neurological Association that I reached out to in my situation to figure out what I should do. And they were phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons I'm enjoying working with them. They've done a fantastic job and continue to do a fantastic job.
Fantastic. Mike, anything you want to add to this, Jerry?
No, I can tell you that you had, by the stats book, one career sack, and that came in 1985.
Who was it again?
No idea. Oh. I just know it was 1985.
So it was one. Almost two.
You'll have been close a few times. Yeah. I reckon the stats guys robbed you, maybe. Yeah.
Mike, real pleasure. Again, as always, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Mike Haynes there. Genuinely go to knowyourstats.org because there's some really fascinating stuff on there, and it is prostate cancer genuinely a big deal. And I know we've been, if you've been listening to these interviews, you can hear that a part of being here is the corporate shilling, and you know, they're all here to sell a product, but that is a very, very, very big deal. Is there somebody super famous behind us or something?
Just Pete Carlisle milling around looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. he looks like a wandering meerkat.
He looks like a lost guy without him so much as a map or a compass, doesn't he?
Absolutely brilliant. So let's get on and talk about the weekend's game then. We had the brilliant moment from Cam Newton today, but otherwise there's not been a huge amount of news from the teams.
Not at all.
We know, again, Thomas Davis has practiced in full again today, so that's big news. Jared Allen practiced in full again today, and we talked to... who did we talk to today who coached Jared Allen or had...
It was Tim Crumry.
Tim Crumry, he did indeed. He coached Jared Allen previously and was telling us that he's the kind of guy who, when he's going to go, he is going to go. So it's going to be interesting to see which of those guys make that step up and do play in the Super Bowl despite those injuries. But we spoke to a couple of players today, including one guy for whom it is crucial to play that.
Ram it.
Of the LA Rams.
You've
Michael
done it again. Yeah. You've done it again.
That one was admittedly on purpose.
Yeah.
Of the LA Rams, Michael Brockers. We asked him about the defensive tackle tandems and what it's like playing with Aaron Donald and how that compares with... Basically, can they look at what Denver have done with a good running game, a slightly lacking quarterback and a great defense, and can they use that as a blueprint for what they can do in LA?
It is, but we can be better. You know, I think I read an article a couple of days ago where they were trying to compare us to Denver, and I looked at Denver, and I was like, geez, they are getting it done. They are coming in a clutch, you know, fourth quarter, they're after Tom Brady. I'm like, that's how we need to be. We need to be when we're called on, we need to, you know, execute and get that offense back on the field. I think that's what separates good defenses from great defenses is when a great defense gets on the field and they need the ball back, they get the ball back. And I think that's what we need to change.
I think there's actually an interesting comparison as well with the Panthers, because the kind of 4-3 defense and getting pressure in that fashion has got a little bit out of vogue in the NFL recently. Mm-hmm. It's all been about fast outside linebackers, whereas you guys, much like the Panthers, you've got yourself, and I mentioned him already, Aaron Donald, as that pairing in the middle who can get pressure. What's it like playing with Aaron? What's your relationship like? Because that could be so destructive.
I mean, I love Aaron. Aaron's, you know, like my little brother, but, you know, I learned so much from him because, you know, he is a student of the game. You know, he's always watching film. He's always watching himself. And I just learned from him, just learned, you know, instinctively what he's feeling. You know, okay, why did you do this? Why did you do that? How did you feel this? I'm always asking questions. So I'm probably annoying him. But, you know, I our brotherhood and our friendship, you know, is closer. So I know how to play off of him. Or if I mess up in a game, blow a coverage or whatever, blow an assignment, I can come to him and tell him, okay, that was me, I got it, you know, and we're going to be fine. And we just get it done, man.
Now, I've got to ask you a question. Adam Schefter's tweeted out this morning, you've probably been asked about this already, but the LA Rams have shown interest in bringing in Peyton next season if he decides to continue playing football.
Right.
Just thoughts on the idea of having Peyton Manning on your team. I don't want you to throw your current quarterback under the
rumors are rumors. I remember last year they were talking about bringing back Brett Favre, so not going to put anything into it, man. We're just going to play it out, and I just hopefully he goes off on top.
Great stuff. Sherry?
No, I'm all good.
Michael, it's been a real pleasure chatting to you. We're looking forward to you coming over to the UK later.
Thank you guys
year.
For having me.
What the UK fans can expect from the Rams, just give us an idea of what the football's going to look like next year.
We're going to be having physical, and we're going to rock the place. That's it. I'm not going to give any more.
Michael, genuine pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
Ram it.
That was indeed Michael Brockers of the LA Rams. There we go. Got it this time. Bang.
Wow.
And the dirt is gone.
It's about 10th time lucky.
Did we decide which unit we were going to break down today? Because we did the Panthers defense yesterday.
Yeah.
So we could talk about the Broncos defense, because we also spoke with Jack Muhort of the Indianapolis Colts, a guy who, as a guard, had to face up back-to-back weeks. He has quite a unique perspective on this. He lost to the Carolina Panthers in that tight overtime game where the Colts pulled back 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then they lost in overtime to the Panthers, and then they beat the Broncos the following week. So we asked him a little bit about whether or not he thought they had the blueprint for beating these teams.
You're in quite a unique position this weekend, because you guys played obviously the Panthers and Broncos back-to-back weeks this season. That ridiculously tight loss against the Panthers where you clawed back 17 points in the fourth quarter, yeah, and then you're beating the Broncos the following week, a team, you know, these two of the best teams in the NFL. So from your assessment of what you've seen, particularly from these defenses, who do you think's in got the slight advantage from two brilliant defensive units?
Yeah, you know, both defenses were so great, top to bottom, from the DBs to the linebackers to the, you know, obviously the defensive line, the guys I played against. And it's tough from my perspective to give anybody the advantage, but I know that on both sides of the ball, they got great players in both teams, and I just want to see a good game. And I can't give anybody the advantage. I do have a lot of friends, ex-teammates, Buckeyes playing in this game, so I'm excited to see them go out there and, you know, do well and have a great game on both sides of the field. So, yeah, I just want, as a football player, I just want to see a competitive, good football game.
How do you cover? You're playing inside, you're playing guard, and you've got K1 Short and Starlo Tulele coming at you. We interviewed both of them earlier this week. They are two terrifyingly large men, so quick as well, and their first step's incredible. What do you guys work on in the week to try and figure out a blocking scheme to deal with those kind of guys?
Yeah, you know, when you got guys like that, you know, they're just great. They're great football players, and you talk about K1 Short. I've been playing against him since college, so I knew going into it, like, you know, I had my hands full, but you got to study and you got to practice hard and go out there and you got to execute the best you can, and you got to realize that you're not going to win every battle against guys like that, because they are great players, but you just got to keep fighting and clawing and do your best to get your job done.
And then on the other side of the ball, Derek Wolfe, who's just got better and better as this season has got on. Again, an inside guy. And it feels like, yeah, if you try and force him to the outside, he's still going to be able to make a move. And if you let him on the inside, he's going to get to the quarterback. And I don't know what you do with a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, Derek Wolfe and Malik Jackson for them are great inside players. So, you know, like I say, you just got to prepare and be ready to play your hardest. And you can't, you know, you have to play till the echo of the whistle is what we call it. Just finish. And, you know, like I said, try to win more than they do. And, those guys, they're gonna make their plays. They're great football players. But at the end of the day, you just got to do your best to execute and get the job done.
Jack Muhort of the Indianapolis Colts there. And as with all of these interviews, we're playing you in a couple of minutes, but we will bring them to you in full and we'll discuss their teams and break them down once we're into the actual offseason. But it's Super Bowl week! Boys and girls, we're on Radio Row. There's a beautiful banner behind you. With Jonathan Stewart and Luke Geekly.
I thought he was going to say that as well.
And on the other side, Emmanuel Sanders and DeMarcus Ware. I had to really work that out because I had to crane my neck around and apparently I've lost all ability to turn around. There's so much going on. It's absolutely fascinating. But we're really all here for Sunday and for a game of football. So we broke down the Panthers' defense yesterday. Do we want to move on to the Broncos offense?
Yeah, let's do the Broncos offense. That could be interesting.
Even though we've just heard two people talk about defenses, let's move on and talk about something we've not discussed. Well, we did speak with Vance Johnson about this yesterday, with a Broncos wide receiver, and obviously a huge amount of their offensive scheming has got to be around not making mistakes. Because if Peyton Manning doesn't turn the ball over and he does exactly what he did in the two playoff games that he's played, keeps it safe, doesn't turn the ball over, short yardage, then there's potential for them to win. I just feel like the Panthers' defense might be a bit too good for them.
Yeah, I mean, what really interests me on this is, and it kind of comes from today, Matt Ryan seemed to he kind of outlined, as the listeners have heard early on, a blueprint to beat to beat Carolina's defense, and it was kind of built around running the game where they didn't have massive gains, but they stuck with it. And they just got those two linebackers to creep up a little bit and open some space up in behind them. I thought that was really interesting, but what I question is whether Peyton Manning can deliver that game plan, and whether even if Kuechly and Davis do come up, does he have the arm strength to push it over the top of those linebackers and get the players that are available there? Because I do think that is the blueprint. But, yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting one. I don't know what you think about it, Ollie.
Well, the Broncos are committed to the run. CJ Anderson, 16 attempts last or 2 weeks ago. Ronnie Hillman, 15 attempts 2 weeks ago. Fair enough, Ronnie Hillman went for about 1.5 yards per carry. Anderson, about 4, I think. But they are committed to the run, and that is obviously part of their game plan. And therefore, to take the strain off of Peyton Manning's arm and his decision making in those type of situations, I think what we'll see is a lot more usage of the tight ends, be it Owen Daniels, Virgil Green, maybe even Vernon Davis. I think that will be far more, but lots of check downs, lots of seam routes, and that could be the way of the outball, of moving the chains a bit more. Emmanuel Sanders, I spoke to on the first day, and he said that he wants the ball. And what Peyton Manning does now is, I don't know whether he didn't do it before, but Emmanuel Sanders said that Peyton Manning listens and is willing to listen to his receivers and understands that, yeah, okay, when they say that they were open, they were open. And when they say, give me the ball, he means give me the ball. And I think if he manages to get the ball quickly out to, as I said, the tight ends, Emmanuel Sanders working out in and out of the slot, that could be absolutely vital.
Yeah, one thing that I'd like to pick up on what you said there is Denver are really committed to the running game. They showed that against New England by 30 rushing attempts and didn't really get anywhere with it, but the CJ Anderson 4 yards a carry came from that one big one.
Well, yeah, 30 yards
in the third quarter,
wasn't it?
Took them into field goal range, the only points they actually scored in the second half, but those 3 points ultimately win them the game. And I do think that is the one good thing Denver do well, is they're committed to that running game, and even if they don't get the regular gains, they may break off one big run. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, that one big run could ultimately win you a close game.
Do you think, though, the way that the Falcons beat the Panthers was because they ran the ball a lot with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, but what you get with Devontae Freeman, you don't get with CJ Anderson or Ronnie Hillman, and it's that ability to really break out. I know they didn't do that, but there was always that worry.
Yeah, there's always the threat. The threat is the big thing.
And
yeah, no doubt.
CJ Anderson and Ronnie Hillman, bless them, do not hold that particular threat.
That type of breakaway speed.
Exactly. So even if they are committed to the run, which they are, and that happens, who's to say that the Panthers will react accordingly to how they did against the Falcons?
The concern is the Panthers' run defense is really very good, and the kind of running game that Gary Kubiak plays is mainly stretch runs. And when Manning's playing out of the shotgun, which I know he is mixing up between under center and shotgun,
he hasn't really been in the shotgun since he came back from injury. There's been a lot more under center, and they've kind of taken the pistol out of the offense as well. So
the concern is that when he isn't as mobile as he could be, and you're trying to play the stretch, you've got a handoff to the guy on the outside, that extra second it can take to get back to the handoff, that extra yard that the running back has to run to get to the line, and when you've got the Panthers are so quick at closing that down, that's going to be a real problem. I'm going to be fascinated to see what the Panthers do in terms of blitzing, because they're not a big blitzing team. We spoke about the percentages yesterday, but Peyton Manning was famously someone who you used to never blitz against. Yeah. You just couldn't do it. He was too intelligent. He'd spot it and he'd use it to get to the short routes. He'd find an open guy, much like we've seen Tom Brady do so much over his career, get the ball out quickly. But this season, he's less than 60% completion against the blitz, a passer rating of 76, 26th best quarterback in the league against the blitz. And actually, if you show him blitzes, if you show him disguises, and we spoke to Mike Haynes about it, I'm interested to see if they're going to try blitz corners off the edge, if they're going to try and blitz safeties, because I think if you bring up a corner and you blitz Peyton, what you're doing is, if he does read it and does show the intelligence to get the ball out quickly, you're forcing him to throw to the outside, and you're forcing him to use that arm strength, which he doesn't have. So make him play to his weaknesses instead of allowing him to play to his strengths. That's what the Panthers need to do. And Peyton, if he's allowed to run his game plan, if he's allowed to do what he wants to do, potentially can move the ball. And we talked about it with the Patriots. They made clear, simple errors in that first Broncos drive.
Crazy.
And allowed Peyton to do what he wanted to do. And we see, give him that space, and he can complete a big 80, 90-yard drive and score a touchdown. But I just can't see the Panthers, unless it's mental errors, unless it's pressure, making those same mistakes. And even if they do make them, much like the Patriots in a drive, I imagine that they will make the adjustments, because they've had an incredible season on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't know if the adjustments are in the Broncos' offense to deal with what they can do when they adjust.
Yeah, what really interests me is, the only thing I'd say is they are very good against the run, Carolina, but that zone blocking scheme is hard work on defensive linemen mentally. It's a challenge mentally. It's kind of not something you see from every team, and there is that. I would say there's probably a percentage of a second less time to get to the ball because you're having to think a little bit more. So it'd be interesting to, and I think that's why in every game they generally break off at least one big run, because it's so easy to bust an assignment against that blocking scheme. And I think that's going to be an important part of it. It's very much, for Denver, it's very much a scheme matchup, I think, on that side of the ball. Because they do have a lot of talent, but Manning is so limited that they kind of do need to out-scheme and out-think Carolina a little bit. So I think that kind of chess match is going to be really interesting.
And Matt Ryan alluded to it, that you can throw on this Carolina.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can get it out and get it to guys that will be able to make plays running with the ball. They've got Demaryius Thomas. Okay, he only caught two catches against New England last week.
But there's kind of history of him being a very good wideout. And and Carolina, truthfully, have the worst second and third cornerbacks in the entire NFL, I think, in Cortland Finnegan and Robert McLean. McLean's a guy they've picked up off the street who was cut by New England earlier in the year. Nobody really wanted it. And Cortland Finnegan is another guy who they've just got in from nowhere in the middle of the season. They're two very, very poor cornerbacks. So I think there is an element of being able to take advantage of that.
That's been what the Panthers' MO's been, though, hasn't it? Roman Harper and Charles Tillman. And they've brought those guys in who aren't wanted elsewhere and done a great job with them. And actually, I think that I think since Ben Wickery's been out, that has been an issue. And it really showed up against Green Bay. Actually against Arizona, and we know that Carson Palmer played one of the worst games of his career, but both those guys didn't have bad games. And if they can have just an average game at corner on that side, and then Josh Norman can dominate his side of the field and the safeties can do their jobs, Peyton's going to have a very, very long day. Yeah. And as is the interior of that line against those defensive linemen, and it's really quite tough.
Yeah, and I think the major problem for Denver is their offensive line is very overmatched in this game. That they're not a good offensive line anywhere. That, I mean, there's literally only Evan Mathis, who himself has had some struggles this year, but has really come on strong down the stretch, who is a reliable option on that offensive line. It's a really, really very average unit.
But given an extra week off, do you think they'll be surely far tighter because of it? Or is it just actual talent that's on
It's a talent deficiency. I mean, Louis Vasquez is one of their experienced guys on that line, and he's having a terrible season. So, I mean, there are some real issues on that Denver offensive line. And something that you mentioned about the three tight ends is interesting. I would go out with a few three tight end sets. I know Vernon Davis can't block at all, but you kind of need to get some tight ends in there.
Actually go out there and play some of those schemes where they play those old school, like Jeff says in the magazine and we talked about the other day. It's kind of 20 style schemes where you're going to heavy set lines and extra backs in, and just accept that you're going to need, show that you're going to run.
Yep.
And go for it and try and, you know, just put enough guys in there that you can get the blocks off and the zone blocking works. The extra 2 weeks to prepare, maybe they'll have had enough time to put that in place. I'm doubtful. Look, we're going to break down the other two position areas as well in the next two shows.
We'll talk
Denver defense, Panthers offense. We may talk some special teams as well.
Thank you very much.
Don't you worry.
Hashtag kickwatch.
I genuinely felt like you were going to get angry there.
Kick watch.
I love how you didn't squeal it because we're sat in amongst other people. Okay.
Kick. Oh, I can't do it.
Kick watch. There we go. And now I feel like an idiot.
Just an interesting fact aside from this. Apparently Steph Curry has scored more than 20 points in the opening quartet of Golden State game today.
Well, there's an over-under bet on that. We talked to a couple of betting
guys. It's not half-time yet, and he's now got 35 points.
So there is an over-under bet, which I imagine the line on is going to get a lot shorter later today after this game. But can the Panthers score more points than Steph Curry in their game on Saturday night? And I think it's probably going to come down to the... I think Steph Curry is going to score more points than both teams combined based on the rate he's going at the moment.
The interesting,
well, it's on the telly behind us.
I mean, we're kind of segueing off here, but the interesting thing about it is that in the big games he's really been spectacular, and I think that the Oklahoma City game is enough to get that kind of performance out of him.
Right, so we have, as we said, plenty more coming for you tomorrow. We'll bring you more from the teams as well as stuff from Radio Row. Ollie's going to get out and hopefully do some fan stuff now some fans are arriving in the city.
Yeah.
There were a lot more fans here today. There was a great moment where Ronnie Lott this afternoon, he was here for a long time today, walked across from the other side of Radio Row, and there's an area to our right here where fans can gather and they can stand. They ask them not to ask for autographs, but they do stand on the edge, get autographs off players as they finish interviews, take photos, etc., etc. And as Ronnie Lott walked down that area into the far side of Radio Row, he was genuinely chased. It was like something from Beatlemania. It was absolutely hilarious. So we will get to all of that coming up. We've got loads of great interviews to come tomorrow as well. But otherwise, We'll do StubHub tomorrow. It's fine. Don't worry. We talked to somebody from StubHub today as well about the ticket prices, and it was fascinating.
It was interesting, how the market fluctuates and the ticket prices as they are.
How much do you reckon I can get for my Golden State Warriors ticket?
There was a woman last night who thought you could get $600 for your Golden State Warriors ticket.
We might look at that on Saturday night. Like, if it's up to $600, I might sell mine.
I think that's a lot of money.
I really want to go.
Well, you could go.
I'm just going to go on my own, and you guys go out
and go to a sports bar and watch it. We've got $600.
Go to a sports bar, watch it, and have the best night out ever.
Oh, it will be great.
And still have $300 left at the end of it.
That's what you think you're going to spend on Saturday night, is it? Fine. Right, so thank you, as always, for listening. We said already those packages for Ireland are coming out on sportstraveltours.com, so make sure you go and check those out. Check us out on Twitter, @Gridiron. We'll keep the live blog going, gridiron-magazine.com. Photos, audio booms with little snippets of interviews, all sorts of tweets and various bits and pieces going up on there. So go and check that out as well. Before we go, as always, Ollie, and Matt this time, any final thoughts?
I had a burrito today from Chipotle.
And
Chipotle.
And how was it?
I still really like that joke. It was good. It was good.
We had some fantastic kebabs from a great place.
He thinks Starlo Talele should be sponsored by Chipotle, and they should call it Chipotle Lele.
That is definitely something that should happen. In fact, I think if we could find an executive
of Chipotle
and suggest that, I think we could maybe claim a fee. And when I say we,
finder's fee,
I mean Ollie. Yeah. I don't know how I've suddenly worked my way to this financial.
We're all friends here. This is one big organisation and group.
Classic
and
Sherry worming his way onto it.
Money earned, money shared. That's what I believe.
Why did you go all Bristol Worm Farmer there?
No, I did it because that's what Ricky Gervais does in The Office. He says worm like that somehow.
Worm.
Yeah, worm.
Worm.
Worm. Worm.
Right, it's getting weird again, guys. So, as always, thank you so much for listening.
It's getting weird.
It keeps happening right at the end of shows, and I don't understand why. We're excited about the rest of stuff to come up this weekend. So thank you so much for listening. Oh, do you know the other thing that happened today that was weird? And we'll play the audio out on another show. But we had two interviews in a row which ended with a Titans question about Mike Mullarky.
Yeah, that's true.
We talked about Mike Mullarky on Radio Row twice today. Titans, who are
I know it's
from
the Super Bowl, but let's talk about the first overall pick.
God, I thought you'd lost it.
I just wanted to get those Titans fans who knew who wanted to get involved. Right, stop being horrible.
Is he
to
literally
Pete.
Just walking around?
So thank you so much for listening. This has been the Gridiron Show, and because we ended with the Titans, let's have a little bit of Damn Titans Damn to finish us off.
Damn Titans Damn.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.